penalty. Put it down for Ferdinand. Ferdinand for Tottenham. Brilliant save by Seaman. And Iverson and Doherty. Tottenham lead.
Yeah, welcome to a brand new Hot Spurs podcast. It is Thursday, the 17th of April, 2014. I'm Steve, I'm in Leon C in Essex, and we've got Colin in Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Carl?
Yes, doing good, mate. I know it's been a few weeks there, but it's been a busy period, more so for you, I think.
Well, this end, as you get towards the end of the season, it always happens. You've got holidays and Easter and more podcasts coming out. You can't listen to all them. And it gets a bit manic, doesn't it? So it's a bit sporadic, but you know.
You've done the London Marathon there.
Yeah, that was good.
How'd you get on?
4 hours 30.
Very good.
So I'm happy with that. First one was 5 hours 10 a couple of years ago, and then last year was 4:40, and I wanted to get 4:30 or under, and I did, but I started off so slowly. Because I was with a couple of baits, so we were sort of having a laugh, and then it got to about 8 or 9 miles, and I thought, blimey, I'm never going to do it here. So I branched off and went on. And if anybody saw a bloke with a big green wig going up and down, big green afro, that was me. So anyway, enough about me. It was good. Right, mate, we've got a couple of games to cover. We'll get straight into it. So first of all, was Sunderland. Now, yeah. I have to say that I didn't see the entirety of either of these games because I've been away for Easter. And Sunderland, I was up in Suffolk and went to some camp thing, like a lodge, which is supposed to have Wi-Fi. And the fellow who was running it sort of said, oh, you know, I need to go and reset the Wi-Fi. I haven't done it yet. And I was like, okay. And it's like Monday afternoon. I said, okay, away you go then. Go and reset it. Go and press the button. Oh, you don't really need that, do you? And I've got the missus there staring at me. I'm like, no, I suppose not. It'll be all right. So I was like, oh. So anyway, what did you think?
Yeah, well, obviously the result, you know, after the Liverpool game, it was a fantastic result for us to actually score 5 goals at White Hart Lane. It's been quite a while, but it was the usual sort of first half where we just didn't really get going. It looked quite comfortable sort of at the start, but then, you know, a sloppy goal and another mistake at the back. And I actually thought Churichis had started the game really well. It was good to see him back in the team. Sort of gave us a wee bit of pace there. But, you know, sloppy ball across. And of course, as usual, someone always scores their first goal against Spurs, and it was Lee Catterall, and fair play to him, he put it away lovely. But you know, to give the team credit, you know, they fought back well, played some nice football, and scored 5 great goals. And it was just nice for a change to actually be comfortable watching them. But it sort of felt like a pre-season game, Steve. You know, was that sort of a feel to it? I think everybody sort of feels, you know, the season's over, as we had sort of said on the last show. So it was hard to get too excited, but it was just nice to see them do it. But like Sunderland, If you look at that result last night, Sunderland were beating Man City. What a crazy league. What an absolutely crazy league, because we totally tore them apart. And for them to go to Man City and be leading 2-1 with like 2 minutes to go is just, you just don't know. And it was like a bit like Liverpool or Sunderland when they went up to Liverpool there a few weeks ago and gave Liverpool a bit of a scare. So it's crazy, mate. It really is. But nice to get the win.
Crazy league apart from us. We're the most predictable team. You know, what did we do a couple of years ago? We went on like 64 games without beating one of the top four. And yeah, we've beaten two or three in the last couple of seasons. And then now we're back to losing to all the sides above us and scraping victories against the sides below us. You know, as I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, when's our big result coming? Was it the Man United away? Not really, because, you know, they've been poor this season. you know, and then you get that Sunderland result. I mean, that's a brilliant result for them. Crystal Palace the other night beating Everton away. What a brilliant result for them. You know, we're going to go into this summer and we're going to think, what was our big result? You know, what was our bragging rights? You know, who are we going to meet? Who we can, you know, say, maybe West Ham game coming up? Probably not. Anyway, right, so that's Sunderland. As I said, I didn't really see much of it. I saw the goals. I heard that Harry Kane played very well. I mean, again, you know, it's a guy that... And I don't mean to be negative or anything or take the wind out of people's sails, but I know people are banging on about him and, you know, being really good and this and the other. I don't know. He plays two or three games and all of a sudden, you know, we've got a brilliant... you know, striker who's going to be world class, and he's, you know, he's the future. I mean, I just don't see it. I really don't. You know, if we don't buy a striker and the manager, whoever it is, says, no, I've seen Harry Kane in training and I think he's the man, Spurs fans will be in absolute uproar, won't they? So I don't know why we're even, you know, sort of talking about him. You know, he's played a couple of decent games. Well done. I've seen him play 10 or 20 whatever games, and he's been, oh dear, no.
I know what you're saying, and I agree. Yes, it's good to see him get a couple of goals. Obviously, he scored against West Brom as well. But you look, he's not, in my eyes, and possibly in yours, he's not the answer. You know, we need to go out and try and assign some, you know, decent strikers. I know we all wanted this world-class striker. We thought we had it in Soldado. He possibly could come through next season for us, you know, with the right players around him and the right support. But, you know, look, Harry Kane's not the answer. You know, it's not what we need to push on. But I say we'll get into that there. I think there's a few questions later on from quite a few listeners. But
yeah,
you know, the big thing there, as you say, Steve, typical Spurs, you get a result like that and you sort of go, right, we can win these last five games and maybe put a wee bit of pressure. You know, you just never know. And what do we do? Arsenal have no game at the weekend. We go away to West Brom, and we're 3-0 down at half-time.
Mm.
And I was working, so I was just keeping up to date with it on Twitter, and all I actually could do was laugh.
Was a good point made by somebody who said about last season when we kept losing last-minute goals, and then ABB sorted it out, whatever he did. He sorted it out and we didn't lose last minute goals. Well, we keep losing goals in the first, you know, 15 minutes and it's not been addressed. It's not been sorted out. We're still giving the ball away within the first 5 seconds. We're still, you know, why isn't it being addressed? Why aren't they saying it? Why isn't Tim Sherwood and the management there going, look, in the first 10, 15 minutes, you know, we need to address this. What do we need to do? Let's get the two central midfielders right back in there. You know, let's make sure we keep the ball. Let's make sure we get it up. You know, get the ball up into the other opposing half. So it's nowhere near our penalty box in the first 10, 15 minutes. Get the ball out. Get it cleared. Instead, we don't. We faff about with it. And one of their players nips in because their instructions, quite clearly, are Spurs are on their holidays already. They are terrible in the first 15 minutes. Let's get straight at them. And I'll tell you what, if this Felix, whatever his face is at Fulham, doesn't say that to his players, I don't know, you know, I don't know what. But I can just see us conceding again in the first 15 minutes unless we see proper... change in their setup against Fulham.
Yeah, definitely, you know, but, you know, isn't it just crazy, Steve? You know, you go away to West Brom, you beat Sunderland 5, you know, there's no pressure on the team, really. But, you know, we didn't expect that. But to be, you know, and then there's 2-0 down, Adebayor gets a penalty, you know. At the way the big man's been playing, you sort of thought, well, I know we all said after the Basel game last year, never want to see this guy take a penalty again. But when I heard he was up to take it, I thought, yeah, man on confidence. But what an absolutely woeful penalty.
Mm.
And when we missed that, to me, it was just game over. Now, to give them massive credit on what I've seen on all the highlights, the second half, they were superb. You know, they passed the ball well. You know, they literally dominated that whole game against West Brom. And very rarely we have actually went to somewhere like the Hawthorns and dominated a game against them. It is a tough place to go, especially with them fighting for their lives. But, you know, we give them massive credit to get back in, and Mr. Eriksen, you know, with a fantastic finish. But, you know, still disappointing. I know it was, at least we didn't get beat, but we, you know, we should be going up to West Brom and beating West Brom. You know, we've said it loads of times, the likes of your Liverpools, your even Arsenal, Man United when they were in top form. Like, United went there and beat them 3-0 this season. You know, those teams don't go to West Brom and lose. And that's the difference. That is the big difference. But look, I think we're all on the same boat now. You know, Arsenal are now 7 clear. There's 4 games left. There's no way they're going to lose, you know, 3 or 4 games. So 4th place is gone. And I think our big decision, and we've already said it, Man United win their game in hand to go above us in goal difference. Mm. Are we happy to finish 8th? Or do we want to get into that Europa League? This is the thing. So, like, I don't want to see Spurs lose, but in a way, with finish 8th, I'll be quite happy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're 6 points behind Everton, funnily enough. You know, if we're not going to do it, but if we did get 5th from now, you know, we'd all say, wow, you know, that we finished really strongly and we've got 5th, brilliant. But I've said, you know, this Europa, I just wasn't into it this year at all. I love watching Spurs, but I had my tickets for the Thursday night games. And even in, you know, all of them really, even the Benfica at home, I just through the day thinking, I'm really not up for it. And, you know, I can't change that. I can't change the way I feel about it. I just thought, you know, this is a massive pain in the backside. You know, and all the fixtures being changed to Sunday, it shouldn't make a difference. It really shouldn't. But it does.
It does, and I think the big problem, Steve, is it's all those initial games.
Yeah.
You know, it's that early group stage where you get drawn against 3 teams that nobody's heard of.
That's it, and you have to go into work. You have to go into work, and some clever dick comes up to you and says, "Oh, you playing tonight? Dynamo, whatever it is," and they're right because you don't know who you're playing, and it is embarrassing.
That is. And look, I think, you know, the push being there with Liverpool this year, they haven't had the distraction off it. But look, if we do qualify, and I know we shouldn't be talking about that, we don't want to be in Europe, but if we do, we've said it 1,000 times, they have to then go. That's where your Harry Kane goes and play.
Yeah.
You know, Danny Rose, if, you know, fingers crossed, I think we'll get on to him later. You know, we get a new left back, Danny Rose, he gets blooded in the Europa League.
Yeah.
You know, Bentaleb, Europa League. Let all these guys play all these games.
Danny Rose, you know, if we can talk about him for a minute, there shouldn't, again, you know, it's not even a talking point anymore. That he came to us a few seasons ago as a left winger. We converted him to left back. He played, funnily enough, someone asked the question the other day, have you seen a worse performance than Kirakesh against West Brom? And the first thing I thought was, yes, Danny Rose against Arsenal in his debut. He was terrible in that game. And, you know, apparently he was good at Sunderland last year. But, you know, all the time he was out of our side. You know, I saw him in a pre-season game at Colchester. And I thought he needed to lose 2 stone then. You know, about a goal he scored to get away somewhere in that UEFA Cup game. And he didn't even celebrate. You know, he's got a brilliant goal. Do you remember that? When we were 5-0 or something. He's got a great goal. He didn't celebrate. You know, he's got a little bit of an attitude there. And he's just, I don't know why we're surprised. We all said he wasn't good enough at left back. And when we didn't have him in the side, we were all like, "Oh, we need Danny Rose back desperately." I didn't. You know, just not even worth talking about. Carl Norton, I feel sorry for him because he's been ruined at left, playing at left back. Because we didn't get our left back sorted out.
Sorry, mate.
I'll carry on. because we didn't get our left back sorted out, we had to play Carl Norton there. And it, as I say, you know, he comes across as quite an arrogant bloke as well, but you stick him at left back and it's absolutely ruined him. He's, all his confidence has gone, so now he's playing at right back. He's absolutely dreadful. You know, again, we shouldn't be surprised. We seem to, at Spurs, ruin people's careers, you know, over and over again, especially these youngsters. Playing them out of position, you know, and we're doing it with a lot of these new guys as well. You know, again, sorry to be so negative, but look at these players that we brought in, and they must be thinking, what the blinking hell have I done here signing for this club? I'm playing in different positions, I'm in and out the side, everyone in this team seems to be injured, the fans, sometimes they're behind us, sometimes they're not. It's just an absolute shambles. What a shambles of a season. And you know, you think, okay, certain things could go our way. So you see Everton creeping up there. You think, yes, go on, Everton. Yeah, you know, and then they lose at home to Palace. You know, and last week, the Wigan. You know, you think, oh dear, what a dreadful performance by Arsenal. This is hilarious. And then they win on penalties. And you know what? They're gonna be terrible in that FA Cup final. Absolutely terrible. And I guarantee Hull score first. And it's back to, you know, and Arsenal are terrible. But I guarantee they scrape that win. And then that's the trophy, you know. And then you've got them banging on all through the sun. Oh, we've won our trophy. You know, now it's all going to go on, kick on from here. And they're going to get that fourth place so undeservedly. Or perhaps deservedly from their first, you know, three quarters of the season, whatever. Hey, I've had a little rant there, and you know, good to get it out of your system. That's why you do a podcast.
Yeah, well, funny, I thought about it last night when I seen the Everton score, and I think all of us were sort of hoping for that Everton win to put the pressure on Arsenal. But you know, it's just unbelievable. Like, if we had been sitting in fourth place at the minute, you know, with Arsenal behind us, there would be Crystal Palace last night. Do you know what I mean? Or Everton would have won last night. You know, it's just crazy. It always just seems to happen. As you say, the Wigan game, like, I sat there, I actually didn't see much of it, but we were actually going out last Saturday night and I left it and it was 1-0 to Wigan and knew there was 10 minutes. Yeah. Get into the car and scored, and then actually didn't know the result till later on and seen them winning penalties. And
well, I'll tell you what, it reminded me of Pompey when we played, you know, Portsmouth. They were on a hiding tonight. They were a nothing side, weren't they? And it was definitely going to OPS. And it went to extra time and it was like, here we go, you know. And they won.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, wait there. That's you know. Anyway.
It's just, you know, Spurs.
Goes one way, goes, it is Spurs, totally Spurs.
Sorry about coughing and choking there, guys.
Yeah, I kept it together, don't you worry.
Bit of a drink down the wrong way.
I kept it together. But I'll tell you what it does. If you listen to all the Spurs podcasts at the moment, it's good because, you know, Arsenal fans wouldn't listen anyway. But, you know, when Arsenal fans call Spurs fans deluded, it's like, well, wait there. Go and listen to our podcast, compare them to your podcasts. You know, what's our aims for the season? It's top four or a trophy, right? So we don't get those two, we're going to fail this season, right? It's going to be a disaster of a season, okay? There's podcasts, all of them. We're going to win the league, we might get to a semi-final of the Champions League, possibly the FA Cup, not really interested in the League Cup, and Tottenham, who are they? You know, some team, mid-table, whatever. By the end of the season, it's we're going to finish above Spurs. So, you know, it all fades and drops off and all this, you know, stuff. But, yeah, with Spurs, top four or a trophy would be great. But we know, you know, I said it at the start of the year, if we get fifth, you know, that's still punching up above our weight in terms of money and stadium and blah, 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 blah. But let's go into questions here. Graham Chandler says, who would you like our manager to be next year? Carl?
It's a tough one because obviously, and I know I said this before, everybody's jumping on the Van Gaal sort of bandwagon. Yes, I do like the sound of him. I've looked into him a bit, and he does sound very good. A lot of people talking about De Boer as well. One, and I know I mentioned it before, and I know I've said it on Facebook, and I'll probably get shot down for it, is possibly the likes of Rafa Benitez. I actually think Benitez could be a massive shout for us. He's not a guy I particularly have liked before in the past, but if you look at his record, I know even at Chelsea, he just got dogs abused by Chelsea fans, but you look at where he's been, what he's done even at Liverpool, what he's done out there in Napoli, I think he could be a good shout for us. Don't know if it'll happen. But I think it has to be in that mould. I would love the likes of a Martinez at Everton. You know, I said about him actually before we even got AVB, but I really don't know, Steve. It really is a tough one. I know we've also been linked with Jurgen Klopp from Dortmund, which, again, I like the sound of, but, you know, are we going to get that guy at the minute? The only thing that sort of made me think that we might, Dortmund are a bit like the Spurs of Germany, where they've all these so-called or great players, but they keep selling them to Bayern Munich. And that guy must be getting absolutely fed up now to say, look, we're never going to do anything here in Germany. We're never going to be the top team because we constantly sell our best players. But is he going to look at Spurs and go, well, hold on, if I go to Spurs, are they going to do the same to me? Are they going to sell Christian Eriksen next season? So this is the thing. Who do you feel, or have you, what do you think?
It's just so hard, and you know, I don't want to say someone like Van Gaal because I've said all along, I think if Holland have a good World Cup, I think he'll have a choice of, you know, a few clubs, and look, I don't know. I just want the manager. You know what? Harry Redknapp came in, and the first thing he does was bought Wilson Palacios because he said, look, I've looked at, you know, he knew Tottenham, and he came in and he said, This club needs a bit of steel, someone to go and tackle. They've got a load of ball players, they need someone to go and tackle. And that's what he did. And Wilson Palacios was brilliant for us, wasn't he, in that first 6 months. And then something up with his brother got killed or something. And, you know, that was it for him. But, someone like that. So someone who comes in and just goes, this club hasn't got a left back, and goes and gets a proper left back. And then going goes from there. So many problems this season have come from not having a left back. It just goes on. You know, the left midfielder situation where we haven't got, you know, Eriksen's got to come back and cover, and that, you know, that, oh, just problems coming from just that left back position.
Yeah, I think the big thing is, and I think Daniel Levy will know this, that the Spurs fans will be expecting a big name. I think he knows he's got to try and pull something out of the hat. And look, if it's Van Gaal or Klopp, you know, Benitez, De Boer, which I actually don't know a lot about. I know he's been linked heavily with a Barcelona job.
But
it has to be one of these sort of guys.
But what about a manager who is a football man, right? Our best season was Harry Redknapp, right?
Yeah.
He came in and he turned it around. And he was fantastic for us. And, people with these opinions about not liking him, West Ham connections, the way he done interviews, the way he said them and not us and things like that. The overall thing is that we had our best couple of seasons with him in charge because he's a football man. You know, I doubt he's got any... of course, he hasn't got the coaching badges and all that sort of stuff. But he came in and he watches, you know, we know that he watches a million games through a season and he knows all the players. So, you know, do we want someone like that? So what I'm saying is someone like, and people are going to go, what are you talking about? But Tony Pulis, right, goes to Palace. Now, Palace were down. They were gone, okay?
Yeah.
He comes in, they're now 11th in the league. And by the way, they tore us to shreds when they were at Spurs. Now, Tony Pulis, right, is a football man. Eats, breathes, everything's to do. And did you see Matthew Etherington on that football programme, you know, where they pick their foot 1 to 11?
Fantasy.
Yeah. Well, Matthew Etherington said that Tony Pulis is absolutely specific on where he wants players to play. So not only is he a bloke that comes in and goes, right, you know, let's get stuck into him, let's do this, da-da-da. He's also meticulous with his where he wants his players to play. You know, and the only trouble is, when you say something like Tony Pulis, everyone goes, oh, not for us, oh, we're Tottenham Hotspur, da-da-da-da.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
I'm not even saying Tony Pulis specifically, but somebody like that. Yeah. Who knows the league, who knows the players, who can come into a Tottenham and just say, listen, Tottenham Hotspur is yes, we're a glamour side, yes, we're that, but do you want to win games or not? You know, kind of like when Jerry Francis first came in and he took over from Ozzie Ardiles. Ozzie Ardiles was, you know, a Spurs legend, but he came in and he went, let's play fantastic flair football. And it was great, but we kept losing. And Jerry Francis came in and said, guys, do you know that you need to defend sometimes? You know, and it all went wrong in the end. But, you know, do we need someone like... go on.
Well, that's where I honestly think that's where the answer is in Rafa Benitez. I really do, because to me, he's a football man.
Yeah.
He's got massive Premier League experience, European experience.
What about I do agree with you. What about an Englishman though? Or can't we have an Englishman because there isn't one?
Yeah, I just don't think there is one. And I know what you say about Pulis, and I agree, because I actually remember thinking a lot of years ago about Roy Keane. You know, when Roy Keane sort of first, you know, got into management and he was doing good jobs, you know, initially at Sunderland and so on, I went, do you know what? That's maybe the kind of man that we need at Spurs. You know, someone that's going to come in, you know, an iron fist and sort people out. But
yeah.
I think we've sort of seen that with Sherwood. Sherwood's that sort of
a
manager.
No, but he's not, though, is he? Because that's Sherwood's too young. I'm talking about one of these, you know, strong manager. You know, Sam Allardyce. Wouldn't you love to see Sam Allardyce in Aaron Lennon's face saying, listen,
exactly,
stop passing it back. Attack the fullback. I've told you a million times, boy. Attack the fullback. Get round him. Use your skill.
Benitez is the answer for that kind of a manager.
Steve Bruce.
No chance.
Exactly. And that's why I agree. I totally agree. Pulis, Allardyce, Steve Bruce, all these English managers, even Scottish managers, you know, they all, I think, actually, would come to Spurs and be great. I really do. Because I think they would come in and I think they would give these players a kick up the backside. But we know, we're going to go for a flair manager, someone, I don't know.
It's a difficult one.
Klinsmann. I mean, Jurgen Klinsmann is an absolute hero of mine. Absolute hero. But is he going to, you know, would he come to Spurs first of all? And then when he comes, would he say, you know, we need to play the Spurs way and all this? And then we end up losing 5-3s and, you know, 3-2s the time.
Look, it's going to be interesting. It really is, just to see what happens. But actually looking forward to see it. I just hope it doesn't rumble on all summer.
Yeah, I guarantee it does.
I know. I just want it done ASAP on us.
Dan Jones wants to know, would we rather play at MK Dons or Wembley?
Wembley.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
What about, you can get into Luton, can't you, and get to Milton Keynes quite quickly?
Yeah, I can get to anywhere quite quickly. I could probably get to any of the grounds quicker than you guys in London.
Yeah, you're right, that's the trouble.
But I think Wembley.
God, yeah, that would be a nightmare for me to get to, but... good to watch my beloved Spurs at Wembley, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think Milton Keynes would be a bit far. Well, you know, whatever happens, just get on with it. You know what? I was talking to my mate the other day. I said, just make a decision and get on with it. Because all this faffing around, you're not going to please everybody. You know, and years down the line, you know, we've spoken about the Olympic Stadium before. But years down the line, you know, people say, oh, I wouldn't go there, I wouldn't do that, I see in East London, it's ridiculous, how can you move out of Tottenham, da-da-da. Yeah, I agree with all that. But a few years down the line, you know, where if you've got the opportunity and all your mates are going up there, they, you go, oh, do you know what? We're top of the league. We're playing in this fantastic stadium, wherever it is. You know, if it's in St Albans or if it's in Enfield or if it's in, you know, wherever it is. You know, you'd be like, oh, I vowed never to go to Tottenham again. But hey, look, I'm 44 years old and I've got nothing to do this Saturday, and all my mates are going up to watch Tottenham. All right, I'll go. You know, I don't know, but that's the way I see it. Just make a decision and get on with it.
The strange thing is, when I'd done the stadium tour there last year, it was meant to be that we were going to stay in White Hart Lane where it was being built. And, you know, it was going to be built towards one end of White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'd be end up with being three sides or whatever, you know, and get into the new stadium straight after that. So I don't know what's going on, but, like, fingers crossed they'll get it sorted out soon.
Yeah, just get on with it, because all this speculation and waiting around is doing my head in. And, you know, like I say, they're going to, whatever decision they make, people will go, oh, that's ridiculous, oh, that's terrible. Just get on with it and then we'll go from there. Right, mate, let's go to a couple more questions here. We've got, is there anything more you wanted to say, by the way?
No, there was a question. I got a message from Paul Teacher out in Thailand.
Oh, about Ledley King. What are your views on Ledley King getting in as a coach?
Yeah, it sort of put, you know, look, you know, is it not, you know, because our defensive displays, you know, have been so bad, you know, should we not, you know, there's someone like Ledley King who's been an ambassador for Spurs. You know, he's going about opening up, you know, Sainsbury's shopping centres. You know, surely that guy should be working in the backroom staff, working with our defenders. And I replied to Paul, you know, and said, like, couldn't agree anymore. It's definitely something that should be happening. That guy should be helping out at Spurs, whether it's with the youth team or with reserve players or with the first team. He shouldn't be walking about opening up. I know it's great, and it's great, you know, to see him doing charity work and this and that, but, like, we need someone in there to help us. And who else could you ask for but Ledley King to help these young players?
I do love him, but he's too nice to be our manager. That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a real shame. He's too nice. And we don't want a nice guy in at the helm. We want someone who get in there and ruffle some feathers.
No, definitely not manager now, but they definitely should be helping somewhere there in the background.
Yeah.
With the defence, definitely.
Okay, question from Andrew Rockall. Who's on the Tottenham Football Fancast, to the ASD, said, well done for me for the marathon, so good lad. He's still not following us, though.
Andrew?
Yeah.
I'll have to have a word.
Yeah, have a word. Right, which current player do you reckon will win an inter-club marathon? So who would do the marathon for us?
Trying to think. Who runs all day? Bentalab.
Chris Knights, would you rather sit and watch every Spurs game from this season back again or rerun the marathon? And then Steve McManamy says, rather stick pins in your eyes than watch some of the games. Yeah, they've been dreadful. The games this season have been absolutely dreadful. Gemma Stubbles, our favourite, says, what did you think of Bale's goal last night? Did you watch that?
Oh, yeah, I did. I actually put it up on my own Facebook page. You know where you can put up pictures now with your crying and things? And it was just, oh, how I miss you. And I just watched him do it. And do you know where he goes along the line and the guy pushes him?
Yeah.
And any other player in Spain would have fallen and rolled about, especially that guy that I cannot stand, Pepe. Absolutely detest that guy.
Yeah.
Would have been down, but I seen him go and I actually knew that he was going to score, and I watched him and I just looked, and to be honest, I was absolutely delighted for the guy.
Yeah, I mean,
I really was, but it was brilliant to see, absolutely brilliant to see. But I just went, oh, if we just could have kept this guy. No,
80 million world records, world record. Not, there is not a club in the world that would have turned that money down. End of.
Yeah.
Can I be on the show next week? No, you can't, Gemma. Unlucky. You've had enough. You've given the Player of the Year award to Gareth Bale. Was she a mascot?
Yeah,
thank God. She's a mascot, and you've already been on the Hotspurs podcast. I think you've heard your...
She's the most famous listener that we have.
I'm only joking. Any time she can come on. Simon Napper, which league position should we be aiming for next year and why?
Okay. it has to be top four, Simon. It really does. You know, it's where we have to aim for.
It's just so difficult, though. Do you know what this harps back to? It harps all back to we finished fourth and Chelsea won that penalty shootout and they got that position. That was so, so important that didn't happen. For the sake of, you know, variety in football. But the fact that happened and that ridiculous rule... You know, why on earth? Who sits up in FIFA and goes, do you know what would be good is if the team that wins it for that country then loses a place. Why doesn't the country that wins the UEFA Champions League, that country gets another place? So that all the fans, you know, all the fans in that country... are cheering for that club.
Yeah.
You know, why would they want tough luck, the team in your country won it, so you're now out of it. And it is going to change next season, isn't it? So, hence, it was a stupid rule, and they're changing it. My goodness. Chris Knights, we talked about him as well, haven't we? Keep Adebayor... and pay his wages. Look at this, pay his wage demands. I mean, it's not his wage demands, it's what he got paid at Man City. Risk a fallout with the next manager or cash in. What do you reckon? Get rid of Adebayor or...?
It's a tough one. I personally, no. The way he's been, if we, depending on who the manager is, if it's who he wants and believes that he can play him every week and get the best out of him, then where else are you going to get another striker like him? You know, you're going to have to pay top dollar. And plus as well, how much money are we realistically going to get for Adebayor? I know I heard this discussed on another podcast, and you know, the guy had said about, you know, we'll probably get like 15 million. I personally can't see it with his wages that he's on. We might be lucky to get 7-8 million pounds for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way the guy's been, if you can keep Adebayor in the mood and in the right form, you have to keep him. You really do, because... who else are we
going to
have?
No, I mean, you know, I'm an Adebayor fan. Like I say, when I go and watch him up at Spurs, you know, he's the focal point. Brilliant. And then we've got, what else we got here? David Coates, Cabal's contract up in the summer. Would you offer him another one?
That is a good question, because I think 2 months ago, we'd have said, yeah, definitely. Or we'd have probably said, why has he not already been offered it?
Mm.
But he really has been really disappointing.
He's gone back to how he was when he was first with us.
Yeah, definitely.
Erratic, but, all over the place, you know, doesn't know where he's coming or going, getting involved in arguments.
It's the injury problems where he may stay.
Injury, Assess the injury, and if he's all right, then maybe, but... Really? No, I'd say no at this point.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate. I'm trying to get through these because I know you've got to get back to whatever you're doing. Erland Andre Nordmo. It's been an overall disappointing season. On a positive note, what have been 3 most uplifting things in our season? Let's try and think of one. Christian Eriksen, I suppose.
Christian Eriksen, yeah. Funny, I thought Eriksen has been uplifting, yeah. But
Go on, mate. I was
slightly disappointed in him to begin with, but really over the past few months, you know, he's really came to the fore, and I think he's been a great signing for us. I mean, you think about it as well, he's actually one of our cheapest signings. You know, so he has to be one of the big points. I really can't think of many more than that, Steve. It really has been such a disappointing season. But I think the other thing is, if we hadn't went out and signed seven players, and say we'd only signed three and spent £35 million, realistically, we probably wouldn't have been as downbeat. I think we all just got carried away. Oh, we've went and we've spent £100 million. You know, we've signed Soldado, we've signed this guy, Lamella. You know, we all got caught with that sort of, you know, that we're going to do it. We're going to be a top three team, top two team this year. And we all got suckered in bad.
Don't forget, though, don't forget it wasn't just us. It was everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
It was everybody, every media, all Sky Sports. That's, go back to that first Soccer Saturday. They were all going, Spurs looked really good. They've got some really good players, da-da-da-da-da. You know, apart from, I think, Charlie Nicholas was going, nah, you know, not Spurs. They say it every year, you know, it's typical Arsenal. And, of course, they're going to be bloody proved right, aren't they? And finally, just on Christian Eriksen, by the way, because I've said I'm not convinced. I think what I'm trying to say is by that is, you know, every other podcast and people go, oh my God, Eriksen, oh, he's so amazing, he's so brilliant. You know, yeah, he's been a great signing. You know, that's as far as I'll go. He does give the ball away a hell of a lot. And, you know, it's not a case of, oh my God, for me. It's been really good. Really good in amongst a load of old bad apples and a load of old dog's poo. Basically, he's been the shining light. But a shining light in a load of old rubbish.
It is, you know, but out of them all, he has been. And I do think there's only more to come because I've seen it.
Oh, I'm sure he is, yeah.
Yeah, I quoted on Twitter the other week, and I think it said something about, is he the same age as Tom Carroll, or like a year older than Tom Carroll?
Yeah, he's really young. So, yeah, I'm sure he'll be great. But at the moment, he's a really great side, really good. But, he's, you know, I'm not drooling like other people are at the moment. I'm still seeing him give the ball away a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know, I might be unlucky not to see him in his best performances, because I missed the Southampton game, I missed the Sunderland game, where he got these goals, and so maybe it's just unlucky. A mate of mine has been to Spurs about three or four times earlier in the season, and he said Lewis can't stand Lewis Holtby, and I remember the last game he came to, and I said, no, look, he's a decent little player, and Lewis Holtby gave the ball away constantly, and he was like, look at him, give the ball, good, and I was like, blimey, you just come to the wrong games, because Lewis Holtby normally good, but you know, that's funny with him. We'll talk about Holtby another time. Finally, why did you both originally start supporting Spurs? Why are you a Spurs fan, Carl?
I think I'd said it was probably a couple of years ago when we first started the show. Spurs came over to Northern Ireland in 1982 to celebrate their centenary year with a local team over here called Glentoran, who were also formed in 1882. And my uncle was a director of Glentoran Football Club. I was only, 9 years old, went down to the game, was fortunate enough to get into the changing room, met all the Spurs players, got a pennant from them, got a picture taken with them, and sat and watched the game, which ended up being 3-3, which was a fabulous game of football. And from there, was just absolutely hooked on Spurs. Plus as well, you know, back in the early 80s, you only really got to see cup finals and you know, certain games on TV, and Spurs made a lot of cup finals around then, so, you know, that was me addicted. And like all my mates, they were all Liverpool are massively supported over here, as well as Man United, and everybody was either Liverpool or Man United, but I just fell in love with Spurs that day, and that was my team, and I've been Spurs ever since.
Yeah, I got a pair of sweatbands when I was about four.
But your dad was a big Spurs fan, wasn't he?
No, because we grew up in Kent. It was Charlton, really. Charlton and Man United, because he's of that age. So he knew, like, you know, the George Best, Bobby Charlton sort of That was his premier, or his Division One side, but it was really Charlton because that's it. That was his era. But he sort of I converted him, I think, to a Spurs fan. Which is strange, isn't it? It's I wish I could be converted to supporting a team that won a load of trophies. I'd be a lot happier, that's for certain. Okay. But nah, I'm joking. I wouldn't change it for the world. Go on, mate.
Yeah, definitely. It wouldn't be born. I say this. I was in my work the other day, and a young lad came in with his dad, and he had a Spurs hat on. And I said to him, "Oh, good Spurs man." And his dad was Spurs, and we were chatting. And I turned around to the young lad. He's probably only about 9 or 10. And I said, "Look, remember this." I said, "It's great to be a Spurs fan." I said, "Because it's never boring."
No.
And I said, "Whenever you, like for me, because I've got to fly the games, I've never went to a match where I haven't been nervous or feel comfortable." And I think about all these Man United fans for years and Liverpool fans before them, you know, who were going over to games. And I just think about United fans going, how boring must it have been? You know, to book your flights and spend all this money to go and watch Man United play Norwich, and you know your team's going to win. You know, I'm flying over to Spurs Crystal Palace there this year, and I'm bricking myself on the plane going, "Oh, are we going to win this game? Are we going to do this?"
I do disagree to a certain extent. I wouldn't mind going and knowing that we were going to win. That would be nice.
Well, yes,
listen, mate, who do you want to win the league?
Win the league?
You want Man City, yeah. I mean, for me, you know, we're similar ages. You're a little bit older. But for me, Liverpool are kind of the second side that I want to lose because growing up, Liverpool were the big side. I mean, Man United were nothing when I was a kid. It was Liverpool. So everyone in my school was a Liverpool fan, or another London club. So for me, Liverpool, I can't stand them. Did you watch that Man City game? I didn't see it, but here's what my take on it. Right, they had, first of all, they've played their full strength side for about 20 games in a row.
Yeah.
Right. No one's got everybody fit. Okay. Then they had. That company give the ball straight to that guy to score.
Yeah.
You know. Then you've got the guy Skirtle handballing it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, all these things, bang, 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 one after the other. And there was a few other incidences as well, weren't there? And it's like, and Brendan Rodgers is all of a sudden this fantastic manager. Well, do you know what? I'd like to see how Brendan Rodgers would get on if Suarez gets injured. You know what? I said it a couple of weeks ago. Let's have an equivalent of Spurs. So let's them have an average 7 players injured for each game they play this year. That's an average for us.
Yeah.
That's not the maximum, because our average this season has been about 7 or 8 players injured. That's amazing, isn't it? When you think about that as an average. First team players, right? So let's see how Brendan Rodgers gets on if he has all those players injured and then comes out, you know, and still wins these games. I think Liverpool are incredibly lucky, and but they are taking advantage of their situation. And, you know, there you go. I want Man City to win.
I'm not a Liverpool lover. I obviously don't like Chelsea at all, so don't want Chelsea to win it. But my biggest gripe with Liverpool has been all these Liverpool fans have appeared from nowhere, you know, giving me dog's abuse because they've tanked us twice this year. And I so hope that they fall. I really, really do. But, you know, in a way as well, but see Stephen Gerrard, I would honestly like to see that guy win the Premier League. I think he's been a loyal servant to them. I love the way he reacted the other night, and if anything, if Liverpool are going to win it, I'll be pleased for him.
I couldn't give a monkeys. He's won the European Cup.
True, never thought of that.
So Andrew Rockall, really, really nice guy, went to Spurs with him. But I mean, I agree with him in a lot of things, actually. Some things I agree, some things I don't on the football fan cast. But he said, no, was it him or was it another one? Sorry, I listened to all the Spurs podcasts. No one else does. One guy said, it'd be great for Liverpool because of all the years that they've been down and all this. I'm like, what? The other day, they had five trophies in a season. When was that? About 6 or 7 years ago. They won five trophies in a season. My goodness. Well, I still go to bed, and if I can't sleep, I've relived the Gazza goal. That's my memories. God, Chris Waddle season from 1989. Trying to do all these goals in sequence.
I don't know. I think Man City blew it a bit last night, unfortunately. But here, it's a great game for the neutral coming up. Chelsea, Liverpool. It's going to be. I mean, it's nice to be able to sit there and not really care, but. I really don't like Chelsea or Liverpool, so maybe a draw and then Man City come and sneak up in the last day again.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say?
No, that's it. Just sorry, guys, I didn't get fantasy football done. I'll have it all up to date for next week.
Honestly, everyone I buy gets injured or gets sent off. I'm rubbish.
You must be picking all Spurs players.
I'm rubbish at that game. I'm the Chris Ramsey of fantasy football.
No, I said it before, you're the Tim Sherwood.
Tim.
Yeah.
Rhymes with dim. Did you know that?
That's right. Yes, it does indeed.
I'm so clever.
Well, come on, Spurs, this Saturday. Let's go and beat Fulham and cheers all up. I want at least another five goals.
Fulham, yeah. Forgot about that. Oh, well. Keep your peppers up.
Yeah. Come on, you Spurs.